activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour. Today in the activist agenda, we go to our phone lines where we have Rick Thompson on the line from Michigan. Rick, how you doing today?
Russ, I'm doing fantastic. I love that intro. That's a great one.
Oh, thank you, man. Activism does begin with ACT, and there's nobody out there acting more to reform laws in Michigan than you are out there. You're my go-to guy for Michigan. We've done numerous marijuana election nights together, and I appreciate your activism. So let's get into it. One of the things you had contacted me about was this insidious plot by the Michigan legislature to kind of undermine the ability of Michigan patients and people in the medical marijuana industry to get some sort of injunctive relief. Can you give us some details on what's going on there?
I sure can. In fact, it looks like authorities here in Michigan are beginning a jihad against medical marijuana distribution centers. We've seen a dozen raids in northern Michigan in 48 hours, three raids in Genesee County, four raids on the western side of the state, all within a few weeks together total. So the reason being, we suspect, is because our attorneys are having some success with a defense for medical marijuana distribution centers called entrapment by estoppel. Entrapment by estoppel basically says if you allow a distribution center to exist for a certain amount of time, that by inference, they are allowed to believe that they are legally operating, and that if you later decide at some random time period to just pull the rug out from underneath them and raid them, that that is not appropriate to do. You haven't given them due process and notification of their failing to comply with law. So in order to avoid communities being stuck with losing lawsuits against dispensaries by the entrapment by estoppel and the inevitable civil suits that could emanate from those successes, the legislature has decided to take up a bill that would specifically prevent one kind of business from suing communities, and that would be medical marijuana businesses.
Wow. Just take away their right to sue just because of what they are in the business of. And folks, for that entrapment by estoppel, it's an interesting legal doctrine. It basically says that if something existed under the color of law, that like it seemed to be legal long enough and nobody ever busted it, then people are reasonable to assume it must be legal. And that's what's been going on in Michigan. You've had these outlets for so long. Wasn't there a recent Michigan Supreme Court case that had some impact on this?
Well, there's been a couple of different Michigan Supreme Court cases that have impacted different things, but we've seen some really crushing decisions coming down that were not favorable, including one in a case called Carruthers. Carruthers, the decision on that from the Court of Appeals made the presence of medibles and concentrates illegal under most circumstances and not valid for protection under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. Now, that's important because the city of Detroit, as well as some of the other raid teams, narcotics raid teams across the state, are using this premise as the reason why they're coming to some of the distribution centers and breaking down their doors and taking all their equipment and stealing every single thing inside the buildings, leaving them much like, you know, little crumbs for mice to pick at. Because they may have edibles or concentrates on the shelf, and that may not technically be in compliance with the state law. So when you can't bust them because they were just there and doing their job for so long, now you try and find technicalities upon which to hang your fervor for shutting them down, and this is very successful.
Now, how do they, what's the reaction from the people in the communities? Because I remember medical marijuana was passed in every county in Michigan. It got like 63% of the vote. It beat John McCain in the state when he was winning it. And there's generally 60-70% support in the polls. So what's the reaction from the community?
Well, I can tell you the reaction, at least in one community, which is Montrose. Montrose is a little tiny suburb of the city of Flint. Flint's had a very nice dispensary program that's existed for a while now, where distribution centers are actually licensed by the city. When the Flint area narcotics group came and raided the city of one of the two dispensaries in the city of Montrose, the former mayor and current mayor pro tem on the city council was furious. They had the county and state raid teams don't need the permission of the local community in order to come in and do these raids for the so-called violation of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. So we're seeing the raid teams overstep their bounds and really step on the toes of the locals, not only law enforcement, but also the citizenry as well. We see a lot of people raising their hands and saying, hey, look, if there are two in the town, why did you only raid one and not the other? And, you know, what are we going to do when you raid the other one? We have no access. Many of the same issues that people normally have whenever we have distribution centers raided. But in this one, it's kind of crazy because, as you mentioned, our law was passed in 2008 and enacted in 2009. We've had 7 years of safe distribution in the state. And in many of these cities, there's never been police action against distribution centers at all. So it's a confounding, confusing situation, but it's also very suspicious. Because when we see raids in Genesee County, in western Michigan, and in northern Michigan, which geographically are separated by hundreds of miles, Michigan is a very wild state, you're wondering whether there's a larger plan to disadvantage medical marijuana and marijuana in general.
Yeah, and it seems to be so unnecessary and really self-defeating when you consider what we've seen Detroit and Flint and other Michigan cities go through, where I imagine the medical marijuana industry is the only growth industry creating jobs in some of those places.
Well, it used to be in Detroit, but Detroit's enacted a pair of horrible ordinances which we fought against, and they would define medical marijuana distribution centers in a way that would make it difficult for anybody to do business in the city, including being very restrictive about where they'd be located, hours of operation, who can and cannot operate them or work there. We've, as a community, fought against this pair of ordinances. And unsuccessfully so far. They rolled out the program March 1st, and they have to allow distribution centers to register by March 31st. The Corporation Council for the City of Detroit was just in the Detroit Free Press 2 days ago saying, come March 1st, or April 1st, when that 31-day period has expired, the Building and Safety Engineering Department, the Detroit Police Department, and the Legal Department will be making visits to every non-compliant distribution center in the city. They're really going on a religious, almost jihad-style fervor to shut down distribution centers, which really have a pretty good history of being good business professionals and good neighbors in most cases in the city. It's only been recently that we've seen some complaints pop up about some of those distribution centers. But there are currently about 235 in operation in the city of Detroit. When it's all said and done, we're going to be down to about 35.
Wow, that is unbelievable. We're speaking with Rick Thompson, and we're discussing the situation in Michigan as there's all sorts of legislative attempts here to short-circuit medical marijuana. Let's talk about the people's attempts to regain our rights. Is there anything happening with medical marijuana or legalization initiatives that we should know about?
Well, absolutely. In fact, there are three separate petition drives that have been approved by the state to collect petition signatures to legalize marijuana in Michigan, all of whom have their goals on getting on the November 2016 ballot. I am very proud to say that the only one that has a real chance to be successful is one that I happen to be on the board of directors of, MI Legalize. We've collected more than 250,000 signatures on petitions without any national funding, being completely grassroots funded and run by the activists and people in the state. So it's a huge thing. However, that has some danger fraught with it too. There's a rebuttable presumption process in our elections law, which says that if you collect signatures outside of the 180-day campaign period, which is described in law, you can still use those signatures provided you prove, number one, that the person was a registered voter at the time they signed, and also, number two, that they were a registered voter during that 180-day campaign period. Sounds easy, right? We're in the electronic age. Everything's on database. Should be a mouse click to confirm those things, right? Well, no. The Board of State Canvassers would like us to use a 1986 procedure involving paper affidavits verified by all 83 county clerks in order to certify that those signatures older than 180 days are going to be valid. Now, it would be unfair to say that it was just specifically targeted at cannabis. Not only is MI Legalize involved in this, but some anti-fracking petitions are involved too, and there certainly is a big oil and gas industry interest in suppressing our ability to petition in that way. But a lot of the criticism and a lot of the initiative that's been given to try and correct this 86 policy has come from our marijuana supporters, and specifically Attorney Jeff Hank from Lansing. So we have seen another piece of legislation be initiated by the Senate this time, Senate Bill 776, which specifically would take away that ability to rehabilitate those signatures outside the 180-day period.
Oh, wow.
Meaning that you'd only have those 180 days and that's it. And worse than that, Russ, they've tried to give it immediate effect, meaning it would now take precedence over the rules that existed when we began our campaign in 2015 and then attempt to invalidate MI Legalize's petition drive during 2016.
My goodness. The roadblocks and the hurdles weren't high enough, so they just want to take it all away from you. That's just unbelievable. Well, there's a lot to cover in Michigan, and I know you guys could use some help, and I know our listeners would like to know more. So can you give us some websites and campaign information if they want to get involved?
Absolutely. First of all, a shameless plug for my own website, which is thecompassionchronicles.com. That's a blog site where we reveal a lot of information about Michigan medical marijuana news and profiles of heroes of courage. Also, www.milegalize.com, M-I-L-E-G-A-L-I-Z-E. That is the website for our legalization campaign. And then also my radio program, which is www.planetgreentrees.com. We broadcast from Michigan once a week on Thursday evenings. And we cover a lot of these subjects as well. You can listen to it in podcasts so that you don't have to interrupt listening to CannabisRadio.com. That's for sure.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick Thompson. And I encourage people to check out Planet Green Trees, MI Legalize, and the Compassion Chronicles. Get all the information you need right there from one of the hardest working activists in the state of Michigan, Rick Thompson. I want to thank you for joining us here on the show, and good luck with everything as you move forward in Michigan.
My pleasure, Russ. Thank you.
All right, folks. Stay tuned. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the devastating case of Cindy Mae Meehan, the 13-year-old girl from Connecticut who had to flee to Maine, who died this Saturday from epilepsy. Where might she be now if we'd have never, ever taken up this insane prohibition of cannabis? We'll discuss that in the Radical Rant coming up next here, live on CannabisRadio.com. I'm Radical Russ in beautiful, sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, looking at an orange tree. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.